Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brandon Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heeds it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
And he just dumps it off for a first down.
Throws it, fakes the spike. And it ends up touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley. The legend of Josh Rosen.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State.
Welcome back to It's Optional, right here on Fox Sports Knoxville, AM 1340, FM 105.7, and as always, on your Fan Run radio app, Chance Collins punching our number two's time clock, alongside Brandon Johns today. Trey had to step out, as you heard. He had to go handle a little assignment, do the heavy lifting behind the scenes, go do a little leg work, a little reporting work, handle all that. All the breaking news that he brings to you all the time and getting the insights, go meet up with some sources, doing some basketball stuff, I'm sure. But good to be back with you. Go ahead and hit the reset button. Tennessee, another big win. Another big win for Vol fans. The basketball Vols roll on once again at home against Arkansas last night. And another easy victory, 106-87. Lamonte Turner leading the way for scores, 21. Lamonte off the bench. Tennessee just was lights out. I know I didn't get to talk about this much because I came in towards the middle of the first hour, but you know, just going back to the game and you know, being really excited about what you have. We talked about it a little bit towards the hard out. You know, you got a really good basketball team. Everyone's on notice now, and the fact that they continue to stay focused. Arkansas was a game that Tennessee has struggled with Arkansas in years past, more so on the road going down to Arkansas than at home. But, yeah, Mike Anderson, they play some tough defense. They come from the school of the 40 minutes of hell. Nolan Richardson, he played under him. He was assistant on his staff. So it was really good to see Tennessee with a game where not as much talent as you have. Could be a game where you go in a little lax, could be a little bit more relaxed, but the guys are still focused, still punishing opponents, just still handling business. Never did I think, even as so much as I've been behind this team and been praising them and just kind of I felt like I've seen this, you know, come into fruition for the last couple years. I never thought that they'd be handling business like this. You know, I didn't think you put up 100 on Memphis on the road. I didn't think that you do it against a good defensive Arkansas team. Just shows the talent, the development that Rick Barnes put together, how focused these guys are, and just how talented a team that you do have. Likely the number two team in the country if everything goes well for the rest of the week. If Michigan continues their winning ways, probably behind them for the number two spot. Might you possibly could jump to the number one spot. Still left out there. Michigan has a tough game against Wisconsin this weekend, correct, Brandon?
Yes, I believe so.
I think they play Wisconsin on Saturday.
Yeah.
So big conference matchup for them. That won't be easy. No, what's Wisconsin's old name? Old coach's name. Was it but not Buddy Ryan? That doesn't make sense. I can't think of the guy's name. They don't have that guy anymore.
Bob Ryan.
They don't have that. Is it Bob Ryan? No, it's not Bob Ryan.
We'll see.
Now I'm going to have to look it up because it's going to bother the hell out of me. He hasn't been there for the last 2 years, but they still got a pretty good basketball team. It won't be an easy game for Michigan. So
Bo Ryan,
thank you, Bo Ryan. We were there, and I was like, not Buddy Ryan. It's not Bob Ryan is the reporter and journalist for, I think, the Boston Globe. So definitely. But, yeah, Bo Ryan's not there anymore. They still got a tough team, though. So hopefully Michigan, maybe they go down. Tennessee moves to the number one spot. But that doesn't really matter. All that matters is the postseason. What happens when you get to March? What happens when you get to the conference tournament? Will this be the first year in my lifetime, and obviously Brandon's lifetime too, that we'll see Tennessee actually win an SEC tournament at the end of the year? Will this be the year? Or I haven't been watching many Kentucky games as of recent, but do they get hot again, and do they take you down in the tournament? A lot left to see. For Vol fans, we hope that this is the year that they go ahead and win the tournament, and much more. I mean, forget about the conference tournament. Well, we care about the Final Four and the national championship, but these are things that, you know, kind of, I guess, get you to the next step. Last year, co-regular season champions. This year, maybe you'll be the regular season champions, hopefully. You got a 90% chance right now. I saw the predictions out just, you know, off of how Tennessee's playing. But, yeah, maybe take that next step. Maybe win the conference tournament. Hadn't done that since, I want to say, early 80s or like 78 or 79. You do that, you make another step in the tournament, move on a little bit further past. Obviously don't have the upset versus Loyola this year. We hope that doesn't happen versus some middling, mid-major school. Hope that the guys can stay focused and go on a good run. So big win for the Vols. Big win once again. Handling business, 20-point victory. One of the hottest teams in the country. Probably the hottest team, the most balanced team. Can play any style of basketball. Damn, it feels good to be a Tennessee Vol right now. Damn, it feels good to be a fan. Also, another breaking news. Jalen Hurts, if you missed this, is transferring to Oklahoma. Jalen Hurts taking his talents to Norman. Going to go up there and learn from Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley, back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray. Now he gets Jalen Hurts, freshman SEC Player of the Year. Not the freshman. He was SEC Offensive Player of the Year. How excited are you, Brandon, to see what Lincoln Riley can do with Jalen Hurts? Like, he's not in the SEC anymore, so not going to hurt us. It sucks Tennessee probably never had a chance. We probably never had a chance to get him. Looks like it was going to be Oklahoma. I know there was talks about Miami as well, jumping to the ACC. There was even some talks about Florida State there for a second. But he goes to Oklahoma. What does that do for – what do you think for Lincoln Riley? What can he do with him, Brandon? What do you expect him to just be in the playoff? I know I heard Dan talking about it before I got in here. That makes them kind of a playoff team immediately. I tend to think – I don't know yet because his passing abilities are still in question. But Lincoln Riley can – it seems he's the quarterback whisperer of NCAA football right now.
I'd put him in the playoff just because I don't see – outside of Texas, who in the Big 12 could really push them.
When we're looking at Texas, Texas has a good quarterback. Sam Ehlinger?
Sam
Ehlinger. So they got him, and you got Jalen Hurts. Who is the better quarterback looking right now?
I'd say Jalen Hurts because he's won on a bigger level. But at the same point, I don't know. He's been at Alabama. Which,
exactly.
You know, how do you not win there?
Will he regress as he goes to Oklahoma? It's a lot easier at Alabama. You know, they got the stable of running backs. They got the badass offensive line, the big boys up front, those big corn-fed boys, the big uglies, the guys in the trenches. They control the game not only on the offensive ball, and especially in his freshman year, it was the defensive side of the ball where they really had a lot of progress as well. They were number one in defense in most statistical categories, which they are a lot of years, but they had a really dominating defense that year. So, yeah, what can he do outside of Tuscaloosa? What can Lincoln Riley do for Jalen Hurts? 865-546-8200 if you want to get on with us. Other breaking news, I guess. Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods will make his 2019 debut at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. That's next week. So next week's Farmers Insurance Open, Tiger Woods will be in attendance. Kind of setting Tiger up to see if he can, you know, leave off where he did last season. Yeah, he'll be going into the majors this year with a lot of hype. Going into this championship with a lot of height too. As according to Oddsmaker, he is the favorite.
Yeah, he plays really well out there.
Yeah,
he won the U.S. Open out there before.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he's only other tournament he has announced to get in so far is the Genesis Open at Riviera, and that's on Halloween. So, yeah, Tiger back in action. What do we want to see from Tiger this year, Brandon? You want to see him win a major?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that going to help us as golf fans? I think so.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, huge TW fan. Golf hasn't been the same. The excitement surrounding golf when he was playing so well this past year, and he won one tournament, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, he won
the John Deere Classic.
The John Deere Classic,
like that.
And just like the hype surrounding that. So we need Tiger, man. We need Tiger. We definitely need Tiger. Can't wait to see him out there, Sunday Red, just intimidating the hell out of the rest of everyone on the tour. I want to see Tiger back, man. Before I die, which it's not going to be soon, but I want to see Tiger win more majors. I want to see Tiger actually get close to Jack. Like it will be so sad for somebody who had such a great career early on, and then he has like the last 5 years going through the substance abuse, the issues off the course with his family and his wife. It's just going to suck to see somebody get so close and not actually break the record. It kind of makes me feel, I know of all fans kind of feel a certain way about this person, but it kind of feels like the way that, let's see, who was it? Hurts was so close to breaking Foster's record, and then he didn't because he ultimately, I guess, like quit and everything and left. Like, go ahead. Get closer, Tiger. I need you to do this. It'll be one of the best historical moments in sports for all of us. It's definitely of my lifetime. Tiger Woods has been the most dominant athlete that I've ever seen outside of maybe LeBron James, the way he dominates his sport. Really excited to see Tiger hit the links again. 865-546-8200. On the other side, talk a little bit of NBA. NBA Wednesday. Trey's not here. I got to dive into it a little bit. James Harden still continuing to fill up the basket. The Denver Nuggets got a wake-up call last night. The Warriors still going to be the Warriors, and they looked really good. And also, we got some more college football news a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about the NFL and playoffs coming up this weekend. You're listening to It's Optional right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Welcome back to It's Optional right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Chance Collins, Brandon Johns back in studio. Other breaking news, I don't know if you guys talked about this recently. Obviously, I didn't hear it because I wasn't here, but I'll go ahead and throw it out really fast. Jalen Hurts going to Oklahoma. And did you guys mention that Tate Martell going to the U? Did we talk about that? Tate Martell, former Bishop Gorman grad and Ohio State backup quarterback, will be transferring to the University of Miami.
It's a good gift for them.
Good gift for them. He actually tweeted out a graphic that says, right back like we never left, I'm a hurricane, throwing up the U. He was also high school teammates with tight end Brevin Jordan and safety Bubba Bolden, who was a four-star recruit, and hopes to gain immediate eligibility. Yeah, I guess that's the guys that he's pictured with in this picture, his former high school teammates. So Tate Martell going to the U, going to South Florida. Manny Diaz gets his first big-time recruit under his helm. Thoughts? Are you going to be any better now with Tate Martell? We hadn't seen much of Tate Martell.
I was going to say, I don't think they're that good.
Yeah.
Period. Without him or with him. Yes. I don't think Miami's that good.
Yep. According to Bruce Feldman, just another, make sure this is confirmed, former five-star Ohio State quarterback Tate Martell is transferring to Miami. Expected to sit out 2019 before being eligible. Dynamic dual threat. Manny Diaz cranking things up in Coral Gables a little bit. Yeah, the youth's not good, but they were pretty good 2 years ago. Now, whether it was just a fluke and they just had some luck on their side and they go out and beat the hell out of Notre Dame and they lose to Pitt is the only reason why they didn't make it to the college football playoff. I think they lost to Pitt at the end of the year. If they win that game, they go on to the ACC. Probably still get beat by Clemson, but with one loss, might have been able to sneak in somehow. But, yeah, getting Tate Martell. So, you fans, wonder how happy they are. Also, a Syracuse fan actually lived up to his word. He was forced, or he wasn't forced, he decided to give $170,000 to charity. He had made this claim if Syracuse had lived up to beating and upsetting number one Duke. Well, surprise, surprise, he's going to keep his word. I'm trying to pull this up, and this is bad radio, and I'm really sorry. When you go to pull up links, if you got to have the link already up, or it just happens like this. The internet's being slow. We know how Comcast. So I'm trying to give you more details on this, but right now it's kind of being slow. So I'm very sorry about the bad radio, but I'm going to get more details on this story. Okay, Syracuse fan Adam Weitzman was having lunch with Jim Boeheim. So, obviously a big donor, I'm guessing, sitting back with Jim Boeheim. This is supposedly hours before Syracuse upset the number one Blue Devils on Monday. And he looked at Boeheim and said, "I think you're going to win tonight." And the philanthropist and business owner, as it goes on to say, he made a promise on social media to donate $150,000 to the Boys and Girls Club if the Orange pulled up the upset. His tweet said, "If the Syracuse men's basketball team beats Duke today, I'll donate $150,000 to the local Boys and Girls Club." Well, he came through on his word, and the checks are ready to be delivered. Said he called officials with the Boys and Girls Club on Tuesday, made arrangements to deliver $50,000 apiece to three Boys and Girls Clubs in Owego, Binghamton, and Syracuse, New York. And he had forgotten to mention another club in Endicott, so he added another $25,000 donation. Nice guy. For a grand total of $175,000 to charity after Syracuse, his favorite team, upset the Blue Devils. Interesting, right?
That's awesome.
That's really cool. So, but then it gets a little, all right, so with every good story, there's always a little bit of a bad that goes with it, right? So going on in this story, it goes on to say, Weitzman is a convicted felon, so he's rehabilitated, who spent nearly a year in prison in 2004 for bank fraud. Since then, he's made a fortune as the owner of Upstate Shredding, a $1 billion scrap metal and recycling company. Are you kidding me? There's that much money. I know there's a lot of money. You know, you take some copper or something to the salvage yard, but damn. $1 billion scrap metal on the site. Talk about a full 180, a full 360, or 180, excuse me, come up, go to prison in 2004 for bank fraud, turn around, whips up a business, $1 billion scrap metal business, and reportedly owns a $30 million mansion on Scantils Lake in New York, Brandon. So, immediately following the win, he started receiving a bunch of text messages. Well, good for him, though. Good for him rehabilitating his life. Even better that a rich guy actually lived up to his word. You've seen this happen where, like, people go on Twitter and they say, for as many retweets or something, I'm going to give. Like, and a lot of times, right, like, if somebody loses or an upset, and those people never live up to it. So, pretty solid move by Weitzman to live up to that. Would you have done it? I guess you got to, right?
I mean, yeah, if I made the deal.
If you had the money, yeah, you made the deal.
If I had a $1 billion company, then donating $175,000 is not going to hurt me.
You can never live that down if you don't make the deal and you are the $1 billion man.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you got to.
You really didn't have $175 to throw out there, guy. Speaking of $175 million is what Manny Machado, Brandon, might be looking at. Apparently, the White Sox have a 7-year our only baseball news of the day. A 7-year, $175 million offer on the table for the talented shortstop. Other big names we still haven't seen signed. Bryce Harper still yet to make a deal. And Manny Machado. Manny might be going to the South Side. I know all my family would be happy. The big Southsiders, big Chicagoans, White Sox never get anything. It's always the yuppie Cubs, you know, the elitist that are the Cubs fans. Always, they got all the money. So big news for White Sox fans, if we have any out there. And big news for Manny Machado. White Sox would be really lucky to have him. That would definitely start their rebuilding process a much, much sooner pace than they thought. So that goes our baseball news, probably our only news for the next couple months in baseball, quickly and very, what's the word I'm looking for? Quickly and straight to the point right there, baseball news. Gotta love baseball. Coming back. Seems like it never left. Are you a baseball fan, Brandon? I don't know if we've talked about it. Are you? Okay.
Love it.
Braves fan?
No, Cardinals.
Cardinals. I'm a Reds fan. Big rivalry there. Reds and Cardinals. Not so much over the last couple years because the Reds suck.
And the Cardinals haven't been that good either.
Yeah. The Cardinals, they're always good, though.
They're decent.
Like, people say, like, you know, Cardinals fan, you're always pretty good,
right,
man.
They're always decent.
Always on the verge of making the playoffs. Right. Always right there. So, yeah, well, maybe we might talk a little bit more baseball as it approaches. Even a little bit of Tennessee baseball as we watch what Tony Vitello and the boys are going to do this year.
They got introduced at the game last night.
They did. That was big.
I'm shocked how many baseball players
Tony
there
Vitello,
are.
Tony Vitello, probably most handsome man in Knoxville right now. I'm very comfortable about masculinity. Tony Vitello, good-looking man. Gets all the
ladies. I
don't
even know what he looks like.
Really?
To be
honest. Look him up, man. Gotta look him up. He's your typical Italian, this long, you know, the long locks, dark jet black hair. You can just tell. He's got nice hair. He has really good hair. He's never had a problem with his hair. And quite frankly, Tony Vitello's probably never had a problem with the ladies. He's a single guy. I think he's under 35. He loves his Jordans. I remember when he came off the plane, he was rocking J's, and he was talking about Post Malone. He's a big Post Malone fan, though. I'm not a big Post Malone fan, so I don't know. That's where we differ. Post Malone is your everyday rapper at your local Walmart. He's grungy, he looks nasty, and his songs are kind of whiny, and they're kind of old now. Speaking of something else that's really old, and we'll talk about this maybe a little bit on the other side of the break before we hit a break right now. The president at Michigan State, interim president, kind of in some hot water. You remember everything that happened with the Larry Nassar abuse,
yeah,
the gymnastics, and everything that's happened? Well, he had some interesting words to say that he probably shouldn't have said, and he's in a little bit of trouble. Things not really on the up and up at Michigan State as far as Title IX and sexual assault and abuse has it all came out with Larry Nassar. And they're still dealing with that right now, still dealing with the aftermath. They're paying a lot of money to the victims, and they're trying to get out of this. We'll tell you on the other side what one John Engler said and why his tenure as interim president may be coming to a close very soon. You're listening to It's Optional right here on Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio, AM 1340, FM 105.7. We'll be right back. Welcome back to It's Optional right here on Fox Sports Knoxville, AM 1340, FM 105.7. Chance Collins in here with Brandon Johns. A little bit of halfway through the second hour. Thank you for joining us. As we left, we're talking a little bit about just a little bit of fallout from that Michigan State stuff. So everybody remembers the Larry Nassar sexual scandal of the gymnast. And everything all those victims went through. You probably watched some of the testimonials from the trial. You saw Nassar up there, and you know, this is a despicable person that he is. Well, even more despicable comments were said by the interim president, John Engler. And this is why his tenure at Michigan State may be coming to a close very soon. Days ago, he suggested, and I quote, that some of the survivors of Larry Nassar's abuse case were, quote, enjoying the spotlight, end quote, after having been sexually abused. All right, so since then, the school's board of trustees has scheduled a meeting for tomorrow morning. His future will be discussed. The meeting's agenda includes an item for, quote, personnel action. If you remember, former President Lou Anna Simon resigned at the conclusion of the hearing with Nassar after she was just made president. Nassar sentenced up to 175 years in state prison for sexually abusing young women and girls. Make sure that you understand that, young women and girls. At the time of the appointment, Engler said he intended to work to move the university forward and respect the women who had been abused by Nassar. Earlier the week, he told the board, school is making progress toward moving past the scandal that some of the outspoken survivors advocating for change in Michigan State and elsewhere were enjoying the attention that they garnered. Quote, there are a lot of people who are touched by this, survivors who hadn't been in the spotlight. He went on to say, in some ways, they have been able to deal with this better than the ones who've been in the spotlight, who are still enjoying that moment at times. You know, the awards and recognition, and it's ending. It's almost done. End quote. Whoa.
The guy is drunk.
Whoa. Can I get that one again?
The guy is drunk.
Thank you. The guy is drunk. The guy is drunk.
Stay off the damn weed.
Thank you. Thank you.
Rachel
Denhollander, one of the most vocal young women in this. She was actually the first woman to publicly accuse Nassar of the sexual assault. She went on to say, and these women should be outraged. I'm going to get to
absolutely
how,
they should.
Yes, how asinine this statement was on a lot of fronts. But she said, quote, you mean like having to change the day I grocery shop so my three kids don't see a photo of their mom demonstrating what was done to her body, end quote. I was talking about like when you're at the grocery store, they probably saw the newspapers, you know, they live in the area, whether it be tabloids with Nassar. And she was, like I said, one of the first women to come forward and accuse Nassar of the assault. So she has been one that has been, we'll say, like a face of it all. She was one of the first to speak up. So first of all, yes, what a dumbass. I think I need to make that clear. What a dumb ass. Secondly, enjoying the spotlight? Enjoying. To say that these young women, some adult women, young women, and these young girls were enjoying the spotlight of having to come forward, tell their story over again, relive it through a trial and relive the abuse again. Not to mention what their families went through. You had that dad who was trying to kill Nassar, who molested his two young girls in the courtroom. Think about all those dads and the moms too, but the dads, like, you know, your little girl. Think about that. And then you got this dumbass John Engler, who's, let me go ahead and let you know, like I said, he's the interim president. He's the temp. Meaning, he hopes to become the what? The full-time president. That's gone. And thank the Lord for everyone at Michigan State's sake and East Lansing that's going to be out of the equation. Because you got to think that he's getting fired on Thursday. Just for you to, one, I always say this on the show, read the room. You got to read the room. It's one thing to even think something like this, enjoying the spotlight, keeping it to yourself, not saying something about it. But the second thing, to not even read the room and know that in this climate, the Me Too movement, Just everything that's came out with, you know, sexual abuse victims and the predators that are abusing these people and the things that have went on for the last couple of years. You see people coming out, these people, survivors, whatnot. To actually just make light of it and to dismiss it as a spotlight, as like this is something these people they wish to do
as like an attention grab,
as an attention grab, or as like something to garner your 15 minutes of fame. What a dumbass! And Michigan State can't get him up out the paint faster. Think about if you're like on the board of trustees, like, oh my God, we just finally got through this Nassar stuff. You know, he's sentenced. We're going to be paying a lot of money out for the next couple years. This is slowly going to be like Penn State in a way that eventually people will forget about it, will be able to rebuild and to get back to a prominence and a level of moral aptitude and what have you not. And then you got this dumbass who's your interim president. Like I said, thank goodness for all the people at Michigan State. He's not going to be the president, but comes out and says, yeah, these people are just enjoying the spotlight.
The only thing Michigan State has for them is it wasn't with the football program.
Yes.
Like, people will never forget about the Penn State thing because it was the football program.
Yes.
And as right or wrong as it is.
Do you think the funny thing about Penn State, Michigan State, Baylor, is like even – to an extent, now, Tennessee had the whole Title IX issues, and they settled. To an extent, here close to home. Isn't it funny how Michigan State basketball, that all happened, and Tom Izzo was accused of, like, turning his head to some things, and, like, he should have known, should have more control over his program. His players were accused of some things, but you never saw it blow up like it did at Baylor or like it did at Penn State or even like it did at Tennessee. Now, Tennessee's stuff blew up because they rolled all the coaches out there in the dumbest thing they could have ever done in like a panel. That was just stupid, and they made a mockery of themselves by doing that. But nobody said much about Michigan State basketball and Tom Izzo at all and his players, and he was accused of – you know, turning a blind eye to sexual assault. And some of his players were accused. And I know those cases are very difficult to prove. And a lot of times you got to really – it takes a while. And you just sometimes don't get an outcome that you think or that you should because a lot of he said, she said. But even as far as a newsworthy standpoint, you never heard much about Tom Izzo after he came in a press conference, said he wasn't going to talk about it, pretty much shut it down last year, and that was it.
It almost feels like, you know, in the show House of Cards when he said, when you're getting hunted, you've got to throw them some fresh meat.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, yeah, what happened with Tom Izzo or what didn't happen.
Yeah, or what didn't happen.
You didn't really hear about it. And the reason you didn't hear about it is because how much we were hearing about the other thing. It almost buried it.
Exactly.
Like, it was so bad.
You're right. It was a damn good thing of what Nassar, and I'm not saying it was a good thing, but for them, the timing, it was so perfect that was going on because it did take, and I quote, no pun intended, the spotlight away from the whole basketball team and what was happening with them and the accusations. So I just thought that was interesting. I didn't know if I was the only person that, like, hey, whatever happened to that Tom Izzo and his basketball team being implicated in some sexual assault? Because it seemed like we heard about it a couple days, for a week or so. He kept coming out after after basketball games in the post-pressers, and he would just be like, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about the game. And then one time I think he said some words about it and said that would never happen at Michigan State, and that was the end of it. But in a lot of times in these situations, you see the outrage more so, even if there's no outcome or no disciplinary action that happens to university, coaches, players, officials, whatnot. You most of the time see all the outrage outweigh the story, and that puts somebody in a bad light or hot water at the same time. So I just thought that was interesting. You never really saw or heard anything else about that with Tom Izzo. So very interesting to see. Interesting last night was the Warriors. 51-point first quarter, man. 51 points in the first quarter. here we were thinking, oh, Kevin Durant, he's whining. They're kind of having some struggles. They've been having some team chemistry issues. Draymond Green's not getting along with everybody. His attitude and his persona is kind of outweighing everybody. It's kind of starting to be a detriment to the team. Lo and behold, they played the number one team in the NBA, Denver Nuggets, last night. Very good team. Young squad. Jamal Murray from Kentucky. He's going to be a damn good point guard in this league. Nikola Jokic from Serbia, I believe, who's playing MVP type of basketball. Reminds you of it, like, in, for all you old school basketball, it's Arvydas Sabonis. He can pass. He can do it. Vlade Divac. He can score. He's a much better scorer than a lot of those guys. But he can do it all. He's like a point guard that's 7 feet, but at the same time does center things. So they're playing Denver. Should be a good matchup. The Warriors just obliterate them. 51 points in the first quarter. Four players in double digits. Their big three, Curry, Thompson, and Durant. I think it was 29, 34, and 31 for those three guys. Just simply handle business. And the kicker is starting to hit their stride when everybody thought that, hey, they might have fell off their dynasty this year. Kind of like when you look at Alabama after losing this year. The dynasty might be in. Not so fast, friends. Good teams always find a way, and the dominant teams always pull it out. They handled business last night. 51-point first quarter. I think they wound up winning that game by 30 to 40 points, and never without a doubt. And DeMarcus Cousins comes back next week, people, and that's the kicker of it all. Just when you think that, hey, maybe somebody knocks off the Warriors this year. No, starting to hit their stride. DeMarcus Cousins will be back. Boogie, he'll be back in Oakland. It'll same thing, just like always. 865-546-8200. Vol Nation Recruiting says, what do you think about the whole Lincoln Riley telling his five-star quarterback signed that he wasn't taking another quarterback and then getting Jalen Hurts? Huh, interesting. I'll tell you what I think about that on the other side. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on with us, coming back, we got a little news of the day. Also, Penny Hardaway won't shut up. We'll talk about Lincoln Riley and his commitment to his five-star quarterback. Also, a little news from Soulja Boy. That's right, Soulja Boy. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on with us, you're listening. It's Optional right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Welcome back to It's Optional right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Oh, man. I hate to say this because we say it every time, but, man, I just feel like just flying over Nam. You know, it's time to go to war. I heard this song last night at my other job, and I was telling somebody this, and it was a younger person. They're like, what do you mean going to war? I was like, dude, they play this song all the time, like when it's a war movie. He's like, at first he thought I said horror movie. I was like, no. If you hear that opening, you know. Yeah,
the choppers are flying over Nam.
You know the choppers are flying over Nam. Yes, you just know. That song gets me every time. 865-546-8200. Drive guys are in the building. When we get off, we'll kick it over to Russell, the Bear, and Brandon. They'll take you home from 3 to 6, followed up with Tanner Carson and the boys, and you'll be listening to Overtime from 6 to 8. So keep it tuned here for the rest of the evening, all the way up until 8 o'clock. We got you, all the local shows, your little heart desires. And we're about to end here. We got news of the day to get to, but also wanted to end on whatever. Vol Recruiting 98 asked us, what do you think about the whole Lincoln Riley telling his five-star quarterback sign that he wasn't taking another quarterback and then getting Hurts? I think Lincoln Riley's a damn good coach. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. This is a sport. I make the joke of it all the time, but Nick Saban, they always talk about him, and like anybody who's around him always says he relies on the ABCs, always be crew.
My thought, too, would be maybe he was telling him, I'm not recruiting another guy your age. Like, what are the odds that guy started as a freshman anyway?
Yeah. What are the odds that Lincoln Riley was going to put him out there as a true freshman? Like, we haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen that from Oklahoma, even under Stoops. I can't remember the last time he started a true freshman. I'd have to go back pretty far. Most times some experienced guys that are getting – maybe Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford might have been the last true freshman I've seen at Oklahoma. But, yeah, outside of that, I think that's a good coaching move. I mean, yeah, it sucks. I mean, maybe you're that five-star quarterback and you really thought – but here's the deal. If you are that guy who you're not redshirting and you thought you were going to get the play time this year, you had not Tate Martell, I'm thinking Ohio State, but you had other guys on the roster too that you were going to have to compete with. So even though Jalen Hurts was brought in, there was somebody else in that roster before this five-star that Lincoln Riley signed, and this is what football is about. This is what sports about. If you are a five-star, I got to believe you're a very confident player and you're confident in your abilities and you have abilities. So go out there and win the damn job. That's the problem with – and I'm not getting on my old man rant because I'm not that damn old, but we do have a problem with people always thinking things are supposed to be given to them. Go earn it.
That's why football is awesome. It's the ultimate meritocracy.
Yes. Go.
Doesn't matter skin color, background, what your parents did.
Go earn it.
If you're the best, they're going to put you out there.
I mean, that's sports – most of the time in general, go earn it. Go show your competitive spirit. Go win the job. I don't have a problem with Lincoln Riley. I don't think Vol Nation had a problem either. He actually put the laughing emoji. Yeah, it might be funny, but no, it's just that's sports, man. Go out and win the job. You're not going to get anything given to you unless you're LeBron James or something here, and somebody like that, or Shaquille O'Neal. You're going to have to earn it, though. Also, David May says, would you compare Barnes' coaching style to Nick Saban?
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
Nick Saban looks miserable. Barnes actually looks happy a lot of times. I think he enjoys life. Nick Saban doesn't look like he enjoys life. Barnes is a very spiritual man. He believes in his faith in God. He enjoys life, and I think he enjoys being the teacher to those boys. Nick Saban enjoys that aspect because I don't think you could be a coach if you didn't enjoy that. But at the same time, it looks more of like he's miserable than Barnes, and it's totally more of a dictator style. Barnes leads by respect, I think. Nick Saban coaches you by fear.
Well, see, it's like they both are respected by their players,
yes,
but for two different reasons.
Yes.
One rules with an iron fist.
Yes.
And he's very successful.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, yeah, okay, he's going to be right. But with Rick Barnes, like, they respect him because he loves them.
They respect him because he loves them.
And I'm not saying Nick Saban doesn't love his players, but it's like...
But you got to think, but when you look at Nick Saban, you think it's a rinse and repeat with his players every year. Yeah, he probably cares about some of the guys, but Rick Barnes, you think he's probably calling Kevin Durant still to this day. He's probably still...
The video of him and TJ Ford.
Yeah, TJ Ford, when he went back and TJ Ford graduated after all those years, and they're both crying, and he's like, you know, yeah, man, I love you. Like, he actually, it seems genuine with Saban. It's business as usual. All right, quickly, Penny Hardaway stuff. I just think that's really funny. I don't know how much you guys talked about. He went on Get Up this morning. I guess he's still talking about Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes, and everybody keeps making the joke. Yes, Rick Barnes and the Tennessee Vols are living rent-free in Penny Hardaway's head since December, and it's unbelievable. He said that he thought Rick Barnes was mocking his NBA staff and mocking his coaching. Funny, Penny.
Only, by doing what?
Yeah.
Beating you?
Nobody thinks Rick Barnes is mocking Penny at all. I have not seen anybody nationally, locally, that has went to Penny's defense. Actually, now it's just kind of spiraling out of control. It's like, Penny, you're a first-year coach. Stop doing this stuff. The only good thing that I heard from Penny Hardaway today was he said, Little Penny is coming back. So expect Little Penny commercials. I kind of like that. Probably a big recruiting thing for them to do up there at Memphis. A recruiting campaign. Little Penny back to Memphis. All this stuff. I'm sure that's how they'll try to tie it into with Nike, but that's really badass to me because that takes me back to a time in my youth in the 90s. So I absolutely do love Little Penny coming back, but Big Penny, kind of shut up a little bit and just coach basketball and see where that takes you. Now it's time for one of our most favorite segments and yours as well. We kick it over at the end of the show always to Brandon for a little bit of news of the day.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
All right, taking it from the top. What is today? Today is National Fig Newton Day.
Ooh.
Are you a big Fig Newton guy?
Sometimes. like every 5 years.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've never actually bought Fig Newtons. The only times I've eaten them is if someone has offers me one.
I'm never buying Fig Newtons.
Yeah. I don't go to the grocery store and think I need to get some Fig Newtons.
No, never.
All right. Moving on. A 12-year-old has become India's youngest chess grandmaster.
Oh.
Gakesh D. from Tamil Nadu in south of India.
That's really damn good. That's really good pronunciation.
Thank you.
Keep it going.
Yeah, he's a chess grandmaster at the age of 12 years, 7 months, and 17 days.
Ooh.
He was the world's second youngest grandmaster, missing the top spot by just over 2 weeks.
You got a young Bobby Fischer.
Yeah, for real. The only thing I know about chess is how the pieces move.
Yeah.
Strategy, I don't know anything.
I know
what I'm allowed
to
do.
I'm with you. I know how the pieces move. I know checkmate when you surround the queen, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't know any strategy. Moving on, Alabama quarterback Jalen Hurts is transferring to Oklahoma.
He gone.
And across the pond, Theresa May, Prime Minister of Britain, has survived the vote of confidence and remains in power. Surviving with a vote of 325 to 306, and it comes after she suffered an overwhelming defeat on her vote of the Brexit plan.
Mm.
Moving on to this day in history, though, we'll have to be quick. This day, 1919, Prohibition was ratified by Congress, became the 18th Amendment. Also on this day, Pauline Phillips, the original author of Dear Abby that you'd see in the in the newspaper, she died 2013.
First of all, I was today years old when I found out that her name was Pauline Richards and it wasn't really Abby.
Right. I know.
Damn it. My childhood is scarred. I remember reading the little Dear Abby. My mom would read them. I thought her name was Abby.
I know. I thought it was too.
Wow.
So yeah, I was today years old as well.
Today years old, I learned. Her name was not actually Abby. It was Pauline Richards. Well, it's been a great show, people. Great hump day for Trey Wallace, Brandon Johns. I'm Chance Collins. Drive guys are up next. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for tuning in to It's Optional right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.